Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
17 minutes past 7. You're on the Morning Mayhem. I'm Kathy Kaler. And as I was saying earlier, there have been issues that existed BC, before Corona or before COVID. One of those issues, and it's an issue that we've been dealing with for a number of years, is the poaching of rhinos for their horns. So we thought, well, let's do an update. Let's find out what is happening with these issues. Just, you know, touch base. So I thought, well, okay, here we go. So Dr. Joel Alves, he is a vet at he's a wildlife vet at Wildscapes Veterinary and Conservation Services. He joins us on the line right now. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm okay, thank you. Are we winning the battle with rhino poaching?
It's a difficult
issue that we've been dealing with for a number of years is the poaching of rhinos for their horns. So we thought, well, let's do an update. Let's find out what is happening with these issues. Just, you know, touch base. So I thought, well, okay, here we go. So Dr. Joel Alves, he is a vet at he's a wildlife vet at Wildscapes Veterinary and Conservation Services. He joins us on the line right now. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm okay, thank you. Are we winning the battle with rhino poaching?
It's a difficult thing to answer. I'd say probably ultimately at the moment, no. You know, with some new techniques and all other facets we're trying to employ in the battle against it, we're probably slowing the rapid losses and decline.
Yeah.
But certainly nowhere near winning at the moment.
So what is the stance? I mean, what's actually happening at the moment? What are the measures that are being put in place? I do know that you were involved with rhino horn removal, and I think it was also Husqvarna, right?
Yes, absolutely. So sort of in a combined initiative recently with Husqvarna and Nkombe Rhino Organization, we've been involved in a number of dehorning operations, and that's sort of been one of the new tools that have been added to the toolbox in the fight against rhino poaching. It's essentially the non-painful removal of the rhino's horn so as to devalue the rhino for any would-be poacher that would want to come onto a reserve and consider killing a rhino for that horn. And, you know, one of the biggest things is you have to maintain that same level of security that all the reserves have been doing, because ultimately it works on a risk-rewards ratio. So we're trying to reduce the reward by removing the horn, but the risk for a poacher to move onto that reserve of capture or being arrested or whatever may happen remains the same. So the high level of security of the reserve remains the same. So a lot of people ask if dehorning is the ultimate answer, and it really isn't. That's just another aspect that we can add in sort of the battle against them. And it's proven very, very successful recently.
Okay, that's amazing. Do rhinos feel pain when you remove the horn?
Not at all. So essentially, it's akin to the human fingernail. So it's also a keratin-based substance. And just like the human fingernail has a nail bed where there would be pain, and that if you cut to it, it would be the same for a rhino. So we always cut above that point where the growth of that horn is and where the nerve endings and the blood supply is. And so you cut above that line, and it's essentially then the same as cutting a fingernail. So there's no pain associated with it.
Really interesting. And what do rhinos use their horns for? Do they actually have a function?
Yes, it's been a very difficult thing. I mean, that's been a lot of the research that's been going on, because what we've obviously been worried about is if we remove something that's so obvious on a rhino, you know, what effect is it going to have in its behavior, in its reproductive success, in its just success in nature in general. And the studies thus far, I mean, still early days, have shown that there hasn't been any major negative effects. So we can't really pin it down to one thing as to, you know, what do they use it for. It's the same as having a discussion of what is the lion's mane used for. And so it's all speculation at the moment. And, you know, obviously bulls would use them in a territorial fight. And I'd say that, you know, those fights still occur with dehorned animals. But, you know, there's not... Sometimes it's to the death with the horns, and at the moment it's not anymore.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to actually say, you know, so much what they use it for. They're not the typical prey species for predators, so they're not using it that much for protection. And so, yeah, hopefully time will tell that, you know, we're not having any negative impact, which I don't believe we are, and we might actually further understand what a rhino actually uses the horn for.
Joel, do you remember in the, I think it was in the 80s, there was a huge battle with ivory smuggling and ivory poaching. And then something, there was a game changer. And I think that it was legalized, but you had to, it was obviously very, very controlled. We haven't heard about ivory poachers for a very, very long time. Is it still happening?
No, absolutely. I think it's just one of those regional things. Unfortunately, East Africa is the biggest target for the ivory poaching. So, you know, a country like Kenya and their national parks, they are really struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's trade route related or if it's, you know, out of country. You know, there's a lot of Middle Eastern and Eastern countries that are involved in a lot of the East African and West African countries, and that seems to be where there's a lot of ivory poaching. So, you know, places like the Congo, Kenya, Tanzania, all of those places are really, really struggling with ivory poaching. And I'm not sure if it's just because of the specific routes that are available for smuggling and the syndicates that are operating up there, but it's certainly still massive, sadly.
Absolutely fascinating. I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier the uses for rhino horn. It's you know, well, you didn't mention the uses. You said it's very much like a fingernail. I'd be happy to collect my fingernail clippings and send it in if it's going to save the life of a rhino.
And so it's something that hasn't been tried yet, and maybe that's the next thing to employ.
What do they use it for? Do you know?
So it's a multitude of things. So, and obviously there's a lot of medicinal interest, and you know, one of the biggest things as well is as a status symbol, so a status of wealth. And so a lot of people like to sort of, let's say, serve tea and with a rhino horn shavings in it or whatever it may be. And it's just a wealth status thing, and that's a massive issue and aspect of it. You know, it's really used mainly medicinally and then for status reasons.
Unbelievable. All right. So, listen, well done to you. Well done to Husqvarna, who I believe they actually sponsored the machines. They sponsored the machines to remove the rhino horns.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been unbelievable in their support of the equipment. I mean, obviously, chainsaw is one of the most utilized pieces of equipment that we need for something like a rhino dehorning operation. And with discussions recently with Husqvarna, they've really come to the forefront, and with really new battery-operated models as well, which just makes it so much better operating in the field and not having to lug around these big petrol chainsaws while also being more environmentally friendly. So, you know, in collaboration with them and Nkombe Rhino, who provide financial support to all these projects to make it possible, especially in a year where COVID's been so rough on the reserve income and their budget, together it's really been a fantastic team effort. And looking at the projects that are coming up next year, obviously, with dehorning becoming more and more of a facet for reserves, I think we're going to be very, very busy going forward.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, I didn't even know that Husqvarna made saws and chainsaws and things like that. I've always associated them with motocross and bikes. So who knows?
Absolutely.
Anyway, Dr. Joel Alves, thank you very, very much for chatting to me this morning. I don't think that'll be the last time. Be well.
No, absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me on the show, and have a fantastic day that side.
It's a pleasure. Stay safe. God bless. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Joel Alves of Wildscapes Veterinary and Conservation Services.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.